All right, then. Well, this is the Okusen Man podcast. I'm Ryan Truitt.
I'm Nick Gord.
And I'm Okusen Man.
Today, being 110 million means you never have to say you're sorry.
I never do.
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick Gord.
I'm Ryan Truitt.
And I'm Okusen Man.
Welcome to the Elite 2 Studios podcast, the Freeware Game Review, episode 14, The Battle for Westnaw.
West North.
Thank you, Mr. Anka.
Alright, so, Brian, you were just saying earlier in that first take something of the history of West North.
West North? Or simply the battle for West North?
That's more complexly.
It's a free turn-based strategy game. It was designed by David White in 2003.
Right. It is an open source game, and so it's been in development ever since.
Yep. So, did we say it's a real turn-based strategy game yet? I don't think we did.
Yeah, you just did. You just did. That's
just happened.
He didn't. He doesn't even know.
I don't even know.
He doesn't even know. He does not even
not
know.
Not even know.
He doesn't even know. Could you stop doing that? There's going to be clicky-shooty noises all throughout the recording.
This is Eliku Studios Podcast, the only game man enough to host with tactical nerf weapons.
The only game?
Did I say game?
Yeah.
Podcast.
From now on, I shall go by the game of
the only podcast man enough to podcast with spoons present.
Okay, so,
the only podcast podcasting enough to nerf gun spoons.
Oh, God.
You can't,
I don't know what to do.
You can't see it, but there's a Nerf gun here with a spoon plug bayonet. So, the Battle for Westnoth is a turn-based strategy game, sort of along the lines of, what did you say, from, like, the Sega Genesis or something?
Yeah, there were two games for the Sega Genesis that it was based on. One was called Warsong, and the other was called Masters of Monsters. I haven't actually played either of them, but they look a lot like Westnoth. They're both full of hexagons and Tolkien-esque elves and resource management and crap.
Yeah, it's set in a fantasy world, at least, like, the core game is. There's probably, like, sci-fi mods and crap, because open-source game.
Yeah.
Where you have a number of different factions.
There are six.
So there are six different factions that you can choose from.
Yeah.
Really? Six? I thought it was more, or
no.
Less.
Well, it's six in, like, you know, the normal base one.
In standard-ish?
In vanilla.
And I think it also changes based on what age you're playing in.
Yeah. Well, because in, like, the Great War, it's just, like, you choose the good side or the evil side, and then the good side is, like, humans, elves, and dwarves, and the evil side is
undead dragons. The more undead.
And yeah.
Orcs. Okay, orcs. So the six factions you can choose from are the Loyalists, which are humans, the Rebels, who are elves, the Dwarves, who are dwarves, the Undead, who are undead, Orcs, who are orcs, also includes goblins, because, you know.
Yeah, and Drakes, who are Yaff Yaff Yaff.
Yeah, and Drakes, who are giant dragon people.
You wrote Yaff Yaff Yaff!
Yeah.
For an explanation of why, I guess, see Dragonborn artwork? What the fuck?
Anyway, with the factions, there really isn't anything to the faction other than the units.
That you can select from.
The units are basically the base of the game, because they're very individual. Like, not the elves aren't just elves, they're also, like, some humans. Like, the elves get a human sorcerer, and they also get mermen and crap.
Yeah.
Well, is it even like that? Because, I mean, like, it's like any other tactical turn-based game where depending on which race you choose, you have, like here's a tool set. It's the same, like, kind of, like, the same idea where you do, like, multiple different ways of getting a job done, all based on a theme of, like, a certain tactic. Like, it has a tactical theme to it. Like, if you do the undead, you do a certain kind of damage. If you do elves, you're more resilient. I don't know what I mean, because I don't actually play Westnoth much.
Yeah, you're making up those what you're saying about the races, but yeah, it's kind of like
that. But it is sort of like there's a tactical theme to each race, and then they just have variants on units for different specific tasks.
Yeah.
So what they are doesn't actually matter. Although, they are individual in the sense that individual units have experience and names and houses.
No, they don't have houses.
No, they are somewhat different. Like, one of the main points of Westnoth is that there is variation among them. Like,
yeah.
The evil people, they don't get magic. And
what evil people?
The orcs and the undead and stuff.
The undead get magic. They get the dark sorcerers. They're really badass.
Undead.
Orcs and...
How are they around without magic?
Yeah, orcs and dwarves don't get any magicians.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Nick's right. Each sort of race has a different sort of play style that they are tuned for. Like, the dwarves are really defensive. They get bonuses when they're in mountains and stuff because they're dwarves. The elves are really mobile, and they get good evasion in forests.
Mm-hmm.
The drakes are really big and deal really big damage, but they also take really big damage.
Yeah.
I should probably start playing as drakes.
They're all right.
I don't... Well,
like,
my usual playstyle is hit things hard so they can't hit back, but I actually usually play as the elves. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Moving on. What's next?
Well, anyway...
Do not want... As in, here are some cons to the game.
The games can get long. There really isn't anything other than fighting. All the resource management is done by automatic, because there's only one resource, gold. You get gold by taking villages.
The more villages you have, the more gold you get at the start of the turn. That's it.
It also
and
allows you to keep up more units, because there's unit upkeep.
Yeah.
So if you have more units than villages, you'll lose gold.
The only thing to buy with gold is more units, so there you go. It's pretty simple resource-wise.
Well, yeah, it's not, you know... You don't build bases or anything. You just park your commander in a fort and say, okay, make units here.
Yeah. There are different things across the map. There's villages, forts, and then terrain, which different units move over at different speeds.
Yeah, the terrain is a big deal in...
Attack and defense.
Battle for Westnoth. That's the name of this game. Because it affects your movement rates over it, as well as like your ability to avoid attacks there.
It's kind of like Advance Wars in that sense.
Yeah, but it's also different for each unit. Like, if you're playing as the humans, they're just kind of, like, you know, normal everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do better in defensible terrain, because, you know, everyone does better in defensible terrain for the most part. But then if you play as the elves,
fuck you up if they're in the woods.
Yeah, they have, like, a 60% evasion rate when they're in the forests.
You would think it'd be harder to move through the forest, because there's, like, trees and stuff.
They jump.
They hide in the trees or something, I don't know.
They jump.
But all units also have different movement rates, so, like, horsemen... can move really far, but they have much lower movement rates through forests and through mountains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the terrain plays a pretty big factor in it.
So anyway, back on the topic of things we don't like, because that's what we were talking about.
What? Okay. Before things we do like?
I don't know,
that's just Nick shouted off the list here.
I don't know. Fine, what's next?
Want to go back to the things we do like?
Just finish it.
Okay, we'll finish. Shush.
Okay.
The game can stalemate a lot because you don't get distracted by resource management. Everybody can build units, and as long as you keep the same amount of towns, you get the same amount of units, and you can throw them against each other, and nothing ever changes.
Yeah, it's that sense where it's like, you have the one commander unit, and he's the only one who can make new units.
Yeah.
So you kind of just leave him in the base, and it's kind of like, it's kind of like anything, where you have one guy making a bunch of other guys, and then you just... have those other guys fight and see where the line is where they keep battling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some ways that it kind of breaks it up. Like, there's a day-night cycle, and certain units will perform better at night than during the day. Like, the orcs and the undead are much better at night.
Yeah.
And then the humans and the elves are better during the day. But even with that, it can get kind of stalematey sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another thing is, at first there's a very low learning curve. You're never going to be like how I played game.
Yeah, because it's pretty simple. You march units around and you fight units,
but
and then you kill the other guy.
Actually, getting good at it is a steeper learning curve because you have to know each unit's, you know, attack and defense and where to attack from and where to attack to. And people get pissed at you if you try to do that during the game. So, you know.
Well, it isn't that daunting because there is like an in-game encyclopedia of all the units that you've seen.
Yeah, and there's a lot of time on your hands when it's not your turn. Because it's turn-based, Which means that, but you can do, if you have like maybe 10 units going, you have to do stuff with like each of those units. And it can take a while for everybody to take their turn, especially in like an 8-player game.
Yeah, in an 8-player game, well, I've never played an 8-player game, but you might have, you know,
tried it once.
10 minutes or so between your turns.
Yeah.
Well, no, not that much.
No.
Unless it's really late in the game.
We had so much time, we actually went for like the Guinness Book World Record label chain.
What?
We figured out, it, like, if you follow the grain in the board, when you make a label, it'll, like, follow the grain as well, and it'll make, like, a paragraph. We did that from the top left corner to the bottom right corner.
Yeah, because something fun that you can do in multiplayer is set labels on tiles, which I don't really know the reason that's included, because, I mean, there's not really any way that contributes to gameplay, except in, you know, going over to the other guy's fortress and, you know, labeling it "Here Be Dicks," or something like that, which is mostly what you do with it.
Or if you just, like, go around, like, you just, like, start at your castle and be like, "The Fortress of Doom," and then go next to it and be like, "The Forest of Doom," and then go over here and be like, "The Tiny Hut of Doom," and "The Bridge of Doom," and "The Bridge of Doom's Cousin, Waldo."
One time Anders labeled some river the Rubicon, and then I crossed the Rubicon, and he was like, "Oh no," and I didn't understand the significance of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but I think this is a really, I don't, maybe it's just the games I play, or I'm thinking a lot of the last game, which was the 8-person game that we were stupid enough to try. I mean, to be fair, it's 4-on-4, but anyway. But the labeling became the game. Like, we played for about an hour. Only about 15 minutes, half of that hour, was actually playing West North. After that, we were just labeling stuff, and nobody realized whose turn it was.
Yeah.
So there are built-in distractions to the game.
Isn't that good? So that's why if you play this, you want to have it with maybe like 3 players.
Yeah.
Well, no, when it's 3 players, you get a weird power struggle.
Mm-hmm. I think that's better, because if you have a power struggle, then it's not as much as that stalemate that you might have.
Well, I don't know. The only time I've played with 3 players is with Brian and Anders, and I don't think I've ever lost when we did that.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll make your base.
Okay.
So, what were we talking about before that?
I'm sorry.
Learning curves.
Yeah.
And then the third learning curve is playing well against other people. There are a lot of people who play online. It's still an active game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, relatively new.
Is it
but
that new?
2003.
Prepare to get crushed if it's your first time playing online.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a tactical game, but there are also grand strategies you got to kind of master to hold your own against other people.
Yeah. Like, I'm not really too much into it, but, you know, maybe there's certain ways to play on certain maps that people already know.
Yeah. If you don't get this town by this turn, then you're basically fucked, and you got to retreat to that corner of the map, and etc. Away from things we don't like about it, let's talk about why we're actually talking about this game.
Because it is a very good, very open and moddable, and like it's a well, even though it takes a while, sometimes it can be boring while you play, in general, it's just a very well-done, very well-rounded game, and that's enjoyable to play.
Yeah.
And it's tactical, kind of.
Yeah, tactical, kind of. What I really like about it is the variety of units.
Yeah.
Because for each race, it's not like a direct symmetry. It's like, okay, this is this race's foot soldier, and this is its cavalry.
Exactly.
They all have different, you know, play styles, and so in that, they all have different, like, niches that their units fit that not all the other civilizations have.
Not every civilization has the same, you know, this is your spearman, this is your arbol. I think every civilization does have a spearman.
Pretty much.
But, well, it's not like, this is the unit that does this.
Well,
you
no.
Know?
Elves don't. Orcs don't.
That's true, elves
orcs
don't.
Orcs have us. Oh, right, orcs have the goblins. I was thinking dragons.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Well, anyway, not every civilization plays the same way because they don't have units that do the same thing.
Hmm.
It's not like Red Alert or Age of Empires where you've got the same exact set of units and the only thing is the color.
Or Warcraft 2.
Or Warcraft 2.
Where there are 2 races, but all the units are the same.
I hate Warcraft 2.
So, it's different like that. Based on what you play, you gotta do it a certain way.
You know, I think that's why I don't like StarCraft. Because when I was, like, 7, the only 2 games I had that were, like, that were RTS games was I had Warcraft 2 and I had StarCraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, they look almost exactly the same. They play very similarly. And for some reason, I played Warcraft more often because StarCraft was, like, too hard for me. because the two sides weren't the same, and then I was like, Warcraft sucks. StarCraft's the same thing, but harder. So that's why I don't like StarCraft now.
Okay.
Okay. So we've been talking a lot about multiplayer in regards to this game, but there is a big single-player scene.
Yeah, actually.
The game comes with, I don't know if it's one campaign or a couple
campaigns.
A
lot of campaigns.
No, it comes with
like at least six or so.
Okay,
yeah.
So it comes with a lot of campaigns that
are very...
word gets to me, they're very well made.
Yeah, they're of a variety of skill levels, which is also good.
And it's not... It's not just a series of, like, multiplayer situational battles.
Yeah, there are
like,
different challenges you gotta... And
like, it's almost sort of like playing, again, it's almost sort of like playing Advance Wars, or I even want to say it's kind of like playing Fire Emblem, where, like, you know, it'll be like, hold off for... stay
exactly.
alive for seven turns.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, reinforcements will come, and you have to get to the boat in order to move on.
It's not just, here are some computers you fought in them for some reason.
Yeah. Which, I actually like that, and if it wasn't for the fact that I'm horrible at RTS games playing them, and so I can't make them, I would actually get into that, because it seems like, as far as modding goes, making a campaign would be, like, the easiest thing to start
modding
this game with.
That's a whole
RTS thing. Games, you say?
No, I had a...
Just calling you out, because... Just saying.
Well, no, we were having a conversation about this, that for me, DEF CON and Red Alert are in the same group of games.
Okay.
But, like, this guy was yelling at me, and he was saying, no, because one's an RTS and one's a RTT.
RTT?
Real-time tactical.
I think he misspelled Grand Strategy.
I guess.
Like, if you're going to say one of those is tactical, then you'd say that about Red Alert, because, I mean, you know, DEF CON is about entire countries shooting missiles at each other.
Yeah.
And Red Alert is, like, squads of dudes.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Back to Westnoff, which is the game we're podcasting about.
Well,
his tangent.
I'm going to work this back into Westnoff. You just watch. Because the reason why I see those two as the same kind of game is because they're games where you control more than one, like, unit at a time. Like, if you play something like Doom and the games that I usually like, it's you control one guy. You control one guy who interacts with the world. In these games, you control many guys who interact with the world. But the reason why I actually like Westnoff a bit better is because since it's turn-based, you get to think a little more. So if you're not good at controlling a lot of things, it makes it a bit easier because you don't have to, like, react immediately as guys are killing you. You just have to, like, you get to actually think about it.
Yeah, it's not about your micro.
Right. But then also because, like I said, it has that sort of, it has that individual units have continuing stats.
Yeah.
So, like, the way I'll play it is I'll pick, like, one guy and I'll be like, okay, here's a new recruit. I'm going to make him my hero. And I give him a name and I play, like, centralizing around him. Like, this is my guy who's going to be the Doom Marine for the remainder of this game.
Yeah.
And I just try to get all the XP and stuff to him so he can
pick a guy with nice stats and feed kills to him.
Oh, yeah, that's something we mentioned before, but we didn't really go into. Each of the units, when you recruit them, they have, like, randomly generated extra stats for them outside of, you know, just what unit they are.
Yeah,
so there's,
like,
strong and tough and speedy and stuff, which add different sort of things to it, which adds an interesting sort of random element to the game.
Yeah, it almost makes it like Pokemon.
Yeah, I guess, with the natures and that sort of business.
Wow, what if we made a Pokemon mod for Westnoth?
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be cool. I want to talk about this too. The way that the battling works, there's close range attacks and there's ranged attacks. And
however, both of these require that you're
adjacent to your enemy.
The only difference is
like the accuracy and damage for each kind of attack. But then let's say I'm a spearman and you're a dwarf. If I can do a ranged attack
and I can't counter
and you can't counter it, which means that I'm just assured to hit you. Or not assured to hit you, but, like, you can't hit me back.
And next turn, I'd attack him back. But most archers have, like, a knife or something. Except for the Dark Adepts, I think.
Yeah, the Dark Adepts don't have a melee attack.
So what you do is you get Dwarf Berserkers to attack him.
Yeah, because Dwarf Berserkers have the nice ability where they keep attacking until someone dies, be it themselves or their enemy.
I like that one, actually.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So, that's how attacking works.
And each of the units have different sort of things that factor into their attacks as well. Like, the humans have a cavalryman who has the ability Charge, which doubles the damage done by both sides in combat. So it's like, I'm going to rush in and stab you with this spear really hard, and I hope I kill you, because goddamn.
Yeah.
And then, like, the orcs have an assassin that can poison people. Mm-hmm.
And there's like a... I think the elves have a thief who can do, like, backstab.
Yeah, they
basically.
Do. I like that guy. Yeah. And then, like, the elves have a caster who can slow people, which cuts their movement and things. So it's less just, you know, we're going to line these guys up and punch at each other until one of us dies.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is pretty much that, since there's, like, you have to be adjacent, and back to that thing about, like, there's a main base where you spawn units from, and you just send them at each other, so they were just trying, it's like, by adding these little, like, nuances to the, like, way combat works mechanically, they're trying to break away from that, here's the stalemate line kind of thing, but it doesn't really happen that much, because I've never had it where it's like, I have a line of guys going this way. Because you can only make a certain amount per turn, and it kind of, they sort of, like, stream across. That's how I'm playing next time we play.
A line?
I'm playing lines.
That's how,
hold the line.
This is a total tangent, but that reminds me of how, the AI worked in Total Annihilation. Once I got their base up, they would just send a steady stream of guys to you.
Yeah.
So all you had to do was make, like, a line of cannons until their resources ran out, and then send bombers.
I actually got people to play the Gundam mod for TA Spring.
Oh.
It's cool. It is so broken. like, oh my god. Like, half the map was base. And then it was just a constant stream of everything until I died. Except my half of the map was base too. Our bases were basically touching each other. It was so weird.
Well, you just built up to each other and you're like, cannons, shoot each other.
Yeah, basically.
It happens every once in a while in a Team Fortress if people are being retarded. And, engineers get sentry kills with sentries.
Whoa.
I laugh every time. I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? But I've seen it 4 or 5 times.
We should do that. Can we just get everybody in a Team Fortress game to, like, just, like, walk up and start, at the same time, just build rows of sentry guns and see which one wins?
Yes.
Okay.
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 Anyway. So, to bring it back a topic, we were talking about how we should make a Pokemon mod for this. To bring it back a topic more,
we were talking about the
Westnoth.
Yeah.
There are a lot of mods for Westnoth. It's a very easy game to mod.
Because, it's open source, so you have access to everything the creators put into it.
So
it's not even that it's open source, it's just that they do that thing where, you know, like, pictures are just picture files in folders. And all of the random names that they give units, it's just a text file called, like, Elvish Names for Men, Elvish Names for Women.
Yeah. So, because of that, it's an easy game to mod, and it means things don't stay broken very long. If you should keep an eye peeled for updates if you play this game.
Mm.
Yeah.
There are some very good mods out there, but there are also a lot of crappy ones.
Yeah.
Just because there are so many. What?
Okay. You remember the time we combined Pokemon, Magic, the Gundam game, and Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, that was a great game.
What if we did that? Like, what if we just made, like, a mod where it was, like, the different card games? So that way we could have a Battle of Westnoth where you have Gundams fighting, like, Pokemans.
I choose MTG.
I choose Kampfer.
Kampfer?
Kampfer.
Oh, right.
What could you do for Magic the Gathering? Because in a way it would almost...
There would be much too much shit.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. I would pick one for each, because that way, like, the different races would be, like, the different colors.
Yeah.
Or something. I'm not sure how you do it in Pokemon.
You'd have types.
Yeah, I guess that's how you do it. Like, one race
then
would be fire
types.
You'd
only have one type.
Well, no, I mean, you could do, like...
What if you made it, like, different trainers?
Yeah.
So that way you could have, like...
Just make up a history with a bunch of trainers and what sort of Pokemon they have.
Yeah.
Like, this guy likes fire and dark Pokemon, because he is both grim and dark. His soul is on fire.
And he has a Charizard.
He has a Charizard
and a Haunter.
That, like,
and they work together.
Doom dog thing.
Weren't we gonna... Am I thinking back when we were still trying to mod Little Fighter 2, or am I thinking of this, where we were each gonna make, like, a custom army and then throw them against each other?
Let's do that.
Let's do that. Make it a Pokemon army.
Okay.
I can just steal the sprites to make the sprites for the game.
Yeah, can't you?
I can.
Okay, I'll make the Advance Wars army.
Brian, what army are you making?
Metal Slug. I'll make one.
Metal Slug? Okay.
Okay. So what else do we have to say about Westnoth?
Wait, no.
I'll rip the sprites from that Toho Pokemon ROM hack.
What? What? Wait, what? Say that again.
I'll rip the sprites from that Toho Pokemon ROM hack.
The last four words.
Toho Pokemon ROM hack.
Whoa. Okay.
Toho? I don't know. Fuck it.
What else do we have to say about...
I don't even know anymore.
I don't even know.
Great single player. Multiplayer gets a bit boring.
I like the multiplayer.
Why don't we go through what a generic game of West North, how it would go down.
Okay, it's like this.
Start off...
In the beginning, I make like three or four ghosts. No, I make like two ghosts and the rest are bats. And I use the bats to go out and grab all the villages. And then I harass people with the ghosts until the zombies and the ghouls show up. And the ghouls poison you until you're dead. And then the zombies kill you and raise more zombies. And then I have a wall of zombies with, like, skeleton archers and shit behind them. And then Brian and Anders go, ew.
And then I just make a line of berserker dwarves. So if one dies, there's another one. If that one dies, there's another one. If that one dies, there's two. It's increase in the difficulty.
It's like the what's name betting system.
Double or nothing?
No, you just double your bet each time you lose.
The Hydra system?
Sure.
Right.
So
what I was actually talking about was you start off, everyone is playing, picks a sieve, or picks at random. If you actually pick your sieve, then you also pick your commander.
Yeah.
And you pick from a level 2 or 3 unit of whatever.
Level 2 only. Level 2
champion, up. Hero, ultimate archer, skull.
Like that.
Yeah, it's generally like, you know, big warrior, big archer, big caster.
And they're going to be the one that can recruit units. And you get to pick their gender, but it doesn't matter. Then what happens after that? You start off with one fortress. The fortress isn't actually yours, because if you leave and someone else shows up, they can start recruiting units.
Yeah.
And there are, like, three other ones, or a couple, depending on what map you're playing, strewn about. So you can start recruiting units from other places if you like.
Well, that's really just on huge-ass maps.
Yeah?
Most maps only have, you know, one per person.
Oh, okay.
And it seems really silly, because, I mean, like, if you can only do it with your commander.
Yeah.
And to move him to another one, that's time you're not creating units.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
To get into a better position, mostly.
I pulled it off well once. I was playing orcs, and I recruited, like, a shitload of orc grunts.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw my Anders over the top of the map. And then I moved my commander down to this one that had, like, three spots for recruiting people down. And I'm not past the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I recruited a bunch of assassins.
Mm-hmm.
And then sent him through and poisoned out all of his guys from behind. And then retreated back, left the assassins in the pass, moved my guy back up to the place that had, like, 5 recruiting spots and made more grunts.
Hmm. Okay.
And it worked well. Anyway, you recruit your units at your place, you take towns, you get the gold to recruit more units, to take more towns, to get more gold.
And by that time, you've probably found the bad guys.
Yeah.
So first, you get the sugar. Then you get the power.
Then you
get the women.
So you create the guys to go out, get the gold, and come back to get enough money to get on the dope-ass Disney train to get to the fun part of the game.
Exactly.
Alternatively, you plant the seed that grows the sheep. You eat the sheep. Throw the bones at your enemies to kill your enemies.
And then their souls are absorbed by the plant
to grow more sheep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the circle of life.
That's how West Office play.
It's the circle of life.
Okay. So, and then...
You got the earth here.
No. And then eventually, the tide turns, someone starts doing better than the other guy, and you wait like 10 turns until you lose and or win.
And really, once someone starts doing better, it can become just kind of a steamroller, snowballing effect. Because units gain experience as they go through combat. Like, with the normal settings, it's like they gain 1 or 2 whenever they're in combat, and then gain, like, 8 or so if they, you know, kill somebody.
Uh-huh.
And then once they reach a set point, they'll level up into a new, stronger unit, and they also get fully healed when they do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, suddenly you have a full health, really strong unit in the middle of your line, and you can just blow ahead with it.
Yeah, like how I held off Anders with one unit one time. He was attacking me, and I had an orcish bowman standing on top of a village, and he had like 3 guys around him. And he was about to kill him, but my orcish archer survived and became a crossbowman, and I was just like, and retreated all his units.
You dropped something.
I did.
You dropped
everything. So, that's how Westnoth goes.
And you dropped the beat.
Yeah, you win when you kill everyone else's commanders.
Yeah. That's Westnoth, basically.
What else we got? Final thoughts. It's a really good, maybe even the best free strategy game out there.
I don't know. I've tried many free strategy
games.
Me
neither.
Honestly, it really reminded me of Vantage Master Online.
I don't know. It reminded me of... nothing really. Never mind.
Yeah, but it's a good game. It's got a nice variety of races. It's kind of deep with the terrain system and everything.
It's fun enough. It's deep enough. And it's I want to say it's highfalutin in the sense, like you said before, there's, like, an in-game encyclopedia.
Yeah.
So that you can, like, read up, like, the bowmen come from the forests of Wichita, and, I don't know, they like, bread. I don't, like, like, there's a part of it that makes you think that it's taking itself too seriously and that it really is deep.
Well,
but in a way that's like, no, we're just joking.
Well, it kind of has this sort of in-game history, because it's like, you know, well, these bowmen come from wherever, where they were tempered in the war of something or other. But it's really just like, oh, so he shoots arrows and can't be counterattacked at, right? Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because that's really all thrown away when you realize the fact that all the single-player campaigns are pretty much user-created and have nothing to do with each other.
Yep.
Like if there's a common backstory, it's probably by accident.
It's like in the grim darkness of whatever time Westnoth is set in, there is only war.
1200.
So anyway, if you like turn-based strategy,
you're 4127. Year of the Tusk.
You're 20XX.
Like maybe Heroes of Might and Magic, but simpler.
What if we made a Mega Man mod? Because that way, the different Mega Man games would be different civilizations, different units, or different bosses!
Yes! High five. My leg's so asleep, I can't even move it to wake it up. Oh my god, no.
Don't worry, you won't even feel it.
Okay,
I think we're done talking about Westnoth.
It's like, maybe Heroes of Might and Magic, but simpler. Advanced Wars, but less Advanced Wars.
But simpler. I don't know if I'd say that. Heroes of Might and Magic doesn't have, like, terrain effects and shit.
Is Heroes of Might and Magic anything like Champions of Norrath?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, if you played those Sega Genesis games,
maybe
you
know
like
what we're talking
them,
about.
And you're not dead yet, then
oh my God,
try this. Link on our website. This podcast is over.
This podcast is over.
This podcast is over.
This podcast is just beginning.
Off. I got a microphone. What? Nothing? We're podcasting.
Okay, so it's full of hexagons, it's high fantasy, it's got elves and crap and
we just did the Okusen Manjoki introduction.
It's
good enough.
Okay.
That's all we need.
Wait. Did you actually almost suggest that we need a real intro?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Yes, I'm sorry. I am shame. I'm gonna go commit public Sudoku. You think I'm joking, but I heard a guy say that once.